So our exhortation this morning comes from Colossians 3, 1 through 4, which says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Now, after that fateful day on the road to Damascus, the Apostle Paul, known as Saul, was forever changed and called to be a servant of Jesus Christ, carrying his name, quote, "before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel," as Acts 9:15 tells us. So when we think of Paul's calling along the road, I think we may sometimes forget just how formative the details of that day became for everything that Paul would write in his letters to the churches. So consider these things with me. In Colossians 3:1, we hear Paul tell them to seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Where did this come from for Paul? Where was his first exposure to it? The very thing that Paul witnessed on the day of his calling, Luke tells us in Acts 9:3. "Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him." So where did that light come from? From heaven. And who, if you know the story, was speaking to him? Jesus. And where was Jesus? At the right hand of God in heaven. So when you hear Paul's writings and they speak about seeking the things that are above, this isn't some nebulous, ethereal place with clouds and harps and people trying to get their angel wings. I'm sorry, is that a movie we watch every Christmas?
Yes.
It's still a good movie. But on the contrary, Paul is speaking in concrete terms of the present reality in which we all live. Paul was knocked to the ground by heaven opening, shining a light on him and his companions, so that Jesus could speak directly to Paul from the throne of God. And what was the theological training that Jesus gave to Paul that day? And don't forget, all theology is pastoral theology, as it is said, or at least it should be for us. But what do you remember Jesus saying to Paul? Listen again from Acts 9:4-6. "And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.'" For those who know the story of Acts, who was Paul persecuting before Jesus appeared to him? He was persecuting Christians. He was persecuting the church. So what doctrine is that? That theological training is what we call the doctrine of union with Christ. Christ was united to his people, and when Paul persecuted them, he was persecuting Jesus himself. So this is the very heart of all of Paul's letters when you read them. And it's the very structure of how Paul tells the Colossian Christians to go about ordering their Christian lives. Listen again to this passage just to make sure you hear it. "If then you have been raised with Christ, Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And at the end of the passage, he says, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Everything about the Christian life is structured around the doctrine of union with Christ. So I ask, did Paul ever forget what he learned that day on the road to Damascus? Absolutely not. Did Paul rarely mention this doctrine? Absolutely not. He mentioned it often. So, especially during this Easter season, it's absolutely fundamental and unavoidably critical that none of us forget the reality in which we live every day of our lives as Christians in the world. We see this clearly if we read the rest of Colossians chapter 3 and 4, where you find that everything in our lives is put to rights by ordering our existence around the basic and essential reality of our union with Jesus, who is in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. And if you and I are submitted in our allegiance to Christ and seeking his kingdom first, then what does Jesus from the Gospels tell us? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Completely united in Paul's message to what Christ taught while he was on earth. If we seek the kingdom and believe we are fully united to Jesus Christ, then we will be able to put to death what is earthly in us and sinful in us. If we seek the things that are above, where Christ is, we will be able to mature as Christians further and further into conformity to Jesus' own life of obedience and love. If we set our minds on the things that are above, we will be able to put our households in good order. We will be faithful husbands, wives, children, workers, owners, friends, companions. So be of good cheer this third Sunday of Eastertide. Put all your hope in Jesus Christ, and you will not be disappointed. Since we have been born again, or more appropriately to this passage, you may have known when Jesus talks about being born again, another translation is to be born from above. Since we have been born from above, our life is safe with Christ in God. And when he appears again, we will also appear with him in glory. And that means that we can go about each day with the right perspective, with the right priorities. This means that our minds will be able to discern between what is good and bad, what is according to the new creation and the old creation. And when we seek the kingdom of heaven, where Christ is seated, then everything else we need will be added to us, and we will find joyful lives of maturity that move us closer and closer to the day of glorification when Christ appears and we are made like him. So be encouraged this morning, dear Christian. Amen.